home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
And the crowd goes wild because they know tonight my guest co-host is Rob Watson, host of What's Going On Back There?
No, it's not host of What's Going On Back There.
Angie, are you on the bed now? Just lay down.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, everybody. We should restart the show. My dog goes up the dog stairs, and she's making a commotion getting into the bed because she's like, oh, Papa, we're going to listen to bedtime stories for the next hour. And I'm like, yes, you are, Angie. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. I'm so glad you're here. It is Monday, February 21st, 2022, 7 p.m. live Pacific Standard Time. In just a couple of moments, I'll be bringing my good friend Rob Watson on. He, of course, hosts Rated LGBT Radio on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. He will tell you that they actually have it live for a different time, and he'll explain why we do that in just a couple of moments. But a big thanks to everybody who's been writing in, listening in, and sending me your feedback and comments. It's a pleasure to always hear from you. I will let you know that a couple of programming notes. Next week, I'll have Journey with Stephanie, and it's super cool to be doing this with her, but we may be having to change her first Tuesday of the month show to the first Wednesday of the month, if I can twist her arm, because I'm being twisted with my arm to go work my part-time job evenings now instead of one of my days off, and I'm going to tell you, it's a cakewalk by comparison. Nobody from my part-time job listens to this show. So I can tell you that during the day, it is a rat race. It's crazy. It's insane. And I absolutely prefer not to do it. And the opportunity came about recently to do a couple of evening shifts. And so in place of my part-time job, one day a week on my day off, I'm working two nights. Now, here's where it gets interesting. One of my coworkers has worked for that company for 25, 30 years, something ridiculously long. He just had open heart surgery and had a heart replacement, like a real one. And so he's in intensive care in the hospital and needs somebody to help cover some of his shifts. So I'm picking up Tuesday evenings on top of my new Thursday and Saturday insanity. Makes for very long days, but then I have two full days off each week. And it is a breath of fresh air to do daytime things in the daytime, like go to the chiropractor or pick up my dry cleaning or maybe even go grocery shopping. Crazy things. You know, it's just lifestyles of the rich and famous here in Huntington Beach. So anyway, Stephanie will be with me next Monday night, but we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do for her Tuesday show. So that may be up in the air. We're also excited to tell you that Rebecca Fisk will be back next month, as well as Mary Lou Monroe Ray. Rebecca is one of America's top 50 psychics, and Mary Lou does specials from Down Under with her show, Rated Oz Radio. All the hyperlinks are on the show page if you're listening from Blog Talk Radio. And if you're not, you can check us out on iHeartRadio and Apple's podcast or wherever you like to pod. But we're everywhere because, you know, we're the big time folks. This is our 11th year doing the show, and it's always a joy to welcome Rob Watson back to Rated G.
Yay.
Rob, how are you?
Yay. I'm great. Great. I'm thrilled to be talking to you again. We have to stop meeting this way.
I know. Well, I mean, Rob, you know me. I hate talking on the phone. So this is really like the equivalent of our once a month phone call to catch up and to, you know, check in and see how everything is going. So how you been for the last month? I have so much I want to ask you tonight.
Oh, it's been good. It's been a little cray. But that's the way it is for everybody. So, you know, no complaints. I've actually had some really fascinating stuff going on. So, yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
Well, what has been fascinating? Do tell.
Well, first I want to say I'm a little concerned about you taking a night shift where apparently one of the ramifications is that you lose a heart. So just be careful.
You know, it's better than working the day shift. And I can go into all the reasons why working the day shift is my least favorite thing ever to do. But the short version of this, honestly, is when I went back to my part-time job, which used to be my full-time job, I went back and I said, you know, having 2 days off a week at my normal full-time job is just driving me nuts. Can I work 1 day a week? And they said, no, princess, you may not. You must work, you know, blah, blah. So for the short term, I kind of, and I also only wanted to go back and be a closing manager at night because I loved doing that. Well, they said, well, we need you in the day. And I went, well, okay, you know, fine, whatever. And every week I'd go in and it'd be the same thing. And I'm just going, I'm just going to like pull my eyes out of their sockets if I do this one more time. And a couple of weeks ago, Rob, they came back and said, so-and-so's out. Can you come in after work? And I said, okay, so I'm going to work my 9 hours and then go work another 4 or 5. Oh, yeah, sure. No big deal. And I went in there and it was like, oh, I really like this. This is such a different pace. And all the yuck of the daytime is not there. So I just, I'm telling you a secret, Rob, and if they ever tune in, they're going to so fire me. I just stand around for like 4 hours and look pretty and maybe help a couple of people once in a while. And then I go home. It's not like the daytime at all. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah. So I mean, that is one of the great things when we do these podcasts and our shows is the people who listen to it are not the people who hang out with us in our lives. You know,
Thank God.
Which I haven't quite figured out exactly why, but yeah, it is comfortable, especially when we talk about them. And
the reason they don't hang out with the people that do the podcast is because they're listening to our daily lives all day long. The last thing they want to do is tune in at 7 o'clock on a Monday night and go, I just heard about that all day. And then you don't have to go back and pretend like they didn't hear about it. So this is our chance to talk to everybody from around the world. And yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, no, that's true. I always think about that when I watch the old Sex and the City, because Carrie Bradshaw is writing these articles in the New York Times about her friends' sex lives. And I'm always sitting there kind of going, God, don't these women care that their friends
talking
about their sex life? All of New York City, but that's the principle. You don't read your friend's stuff, so you don't know.
Ever.
So now we know the secret. But anyway, my life has been bopping along. I've started my writing business, which is going really super well. Is ramping up with new clients, and I'm writing about their stuff, and that has been exciting. I've had couple articles published in different publications, one in parents.com since we last talked, and a couple in the Los Angeles Blade magazine, which is they're in LA. And so lots of fun going on.
Well, I'm always impressed by your writing. Well, you tell such compelling stories when you write as well. So it's when you pick up an article written by Mr. Rob Watson himself, whose readers include millions and millions and millions, literally, of readers from around the world, you know, you're in for a good time and something that you're going to actually probably walk away from going, I learned something and I enjoyed reading it at the same time. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that happened this month on Rated LGBT Radio and was one of the articles was I got to interview Barbara Poma, who is the owner of Pulse Nightclub the owner of Pulse Nightclub the night of the massacre there. And we did the show with her. Her story was just so incredible from start to finish. And obviously the big point of the story was her experience being the owner of that nightclub when a gunman came in and killed 49 people. But after the show, I turned to Brody, who was already on board with me doing this anyway, and said, I have to write this. You know, I have to write this article. And wrote the article for him for the Los Angeles Blade. And so it is online and in print in L.A., Barbara's story. And it is quite the story and will continue to be the story going on.
Well, then the shameless plug is go back and check the show archives, people, because you can listen to Rob's interview with Barbara right here on Rated LGBT Radio and then share it and tell all of your friends and family to listen in as well.
Yeah. we've got quite a bunch of good shows. So I would advise people, and shameless self plug, but you know, I'm kind of proud of what we've done. But we have just dozens of fascinating guests. From Belinda Carlisle to Barbara Poma to we had a couple of shows this month that were pretty intense. One on foster care, that was this last week's show, and then the week before we were doing male victims of sexual abuse.
Ooh, those are heavy topics.
So, yeah, super heavy. And the week before that was Pulse Nightclub. So yeah, we kind of went pretty heavy this month with the podcast. We do singers and we do filmmakers and a lot of lighter fare, even though a lot of their work can touch on pretty heavy subjects. But it's been fascinating conversations.
I love that. How are Jesse and Jason doing?
They're good. Both working. They're both working in food, which is my son Jason particularly is a foodie and actually quite a talented budding chef. My other son Jesse really wants to get into more construction, and he's an avid skateboarder, but he is also working at Togo's and doing sandwiches and soups to earn money. So yeah, they're doing good.
Well, good for him.
They're really good.
I'm
actually super proud of both of them. They're both really great young men, and I adore them is an understatement. They rock my world.
Well, they must have had a good dad growing up, huh?
I hope so. It's like everything's great. It just, you know, it's like when you're a parent, you're just kind of the fixture that's there. I mean, mm-hmm. Which is the way it should be. You know, they haven't been without me, so they don't, you know, it's like I'm just dad, I'm there. And
Hey, I got a question. Speaking of the Pulse Nightclub and things that are going on in Florida, have you been keeping tabs on the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida of late?
We have. In fact, we had a show. That was one of the other shows that we've done, which was Brandon Wolf, who was at the nightclub at Pulse the night of the shooting and lost several of his best friend and a couple of other friends in the shooting. Brandon is now the he's not the executive director, but he's the public relations person for Equality Florida, and they're the major group down there that's been fighting these different bills. And we did a show on the bills coming up in Florida that he's fighting against.
So what do you, in just like kind of a nutshell for the people who are listening tonight, what is the Don't Say Gay bill and why should people care about what is happening in Florida tonight?
There are a couple of bills that people should care about. That is definitely one of them. The basically what's happening, it's not just Florida, unfortunately, it's happening across the country, is a lot of the state houses, particularly ones that are Republican run, are, and I'm going to back up a little bit. If you remember back in not too distant history, when George Bush was running against Al Gore, the Republicans decided to pick on gay people and same-sex marriage. And so they made it the big cause. It was the big hot button issue that they got their base riled up against. And across the country, as he was running for president, they were passing all these constitutional amendments outlawing same-sex marriage in all these state constitutions. And it was blindsiding the LGBTQ advocacy groups, because nobody was prepared for that. Nobody across the country was fighting for gay marriage. It wasn't an issue that had the pro side really jumping on board with yet. But the anti side was jumping ahead and stirring up hysteria, and all these things were passed, and they were doing it to rile their base up. Well, the current rile the base up scapegoats are transgender youth. And these bills are happening in a lot of the state houses across the country. They're doing it with the trans athletes, where they're making out that trans girls in sports are somehow going to just completely ruin girls' sports across the country, and these kids need to be banned, et cetera, et cetera. They're also going after transgender youth health care, trying to make it illegal for doctors to give medical attention to transgender youth, which often includes hormone therapy that keeps their puberty from happening too early. So it gives them the space when they're young to not have their bodies go through gender indicative change, you know, like the lowering voices and fur and, you know, all the things that happen to cisgender boys, putting that off so that the individual can then take a hold of what their body is doing and get that aligned with their psychic and psyche gender of who they really are. So they're trying to, there's all this legislation against that. And there's all this book burning, where they're banning pro-LGBTQ books along with civil rights and black rights books, and books just about the racism across the country. They're trying to ban all these out of the kids' libraries. So all of these are going on. And now one of these bills, the Don't Say Gay, is essentially, it's an old bill that's been tried in different state houses and never passed, is saying teachers can't talk about being gay. They can't promote it because it is to a conservative, Republican, religious person controversial, which it is. It's they're gay families. They're gay kids. They're mm-hmm. you know there are people who need to not be invisible. And it is an attempt to make LGBTQ people, parents, teachers, and the kids themselves invisible.
Why do you think, I mean, this is 2022, for goodness sakes. Why do you think we are still going backwards? I mean, we made some great progress a few years ago when marriage equality hit, and it just seems like in the last couple of years, everything is just going backwards. And to me, that is just mind-boggling for a country that has made so much progress and with people who have such an open mind in so many different ways. It's like this sliver of society is rolling back to the, you know, the Stone Ages again.
Well, my viewpoint on that is it has a lot to do with Donald Trump. Donald Trump literally threw back a lot of advancement in his 1 year or one term presidency. And worse than that, though, he didn't create it, but he uncovered the racism and homophobia and hatred that already still existed in our country. It was, you know, but it was under wraps. And the reason it felt like it went away was because we had made significant gains. But mm-hmm. a lot of those gains were made in court, not in the public. So there was still a large part of the public that were not quite okay with a lot of the advancements that happened by the court decree. For example, same-sex marriage, you know, a lot of the states where same-sex marriage became okay and legal were, the public hadn't voted that way. It was because of the Supreme Court, and it just became the law of the land that they were not allowed to restrict us in all these different states. Well, under the surface, that pissed a lot of people off who were anti-gay. And the things that the politicians need is they need to rile up the big emotions in mm-hmm. their base. Because if they, and hatred is a really good emotion to rile up, because you can dangle it out there, it's passionate, and people will get on the bandwagon, and they will, you know, they will start supporting it. Because I think there is a point where a lot of people, if they sit back and think about it, they realize it's not fair, but they don't like it anyway. And so yeah. they don't care that it's not there. It's like it's they suddenly see this glimmer that they can put life back the way they wanted it, which was gay people being invisible, black people being invisible. You know, it's like they could just go about their business and live their lives and not have to deal with people that they don't understand and they don't want to understand and they don't want to see. And so it is fitting the need of those people that want it that way. And the Supreme Court,
yeah.
unfortunately, is set up to support a lot of this stuff if it gets that far. Because and one of the things the Supreme Court is already threatening, which I would think over half the country at least would be exploding over, is women's reproductive rights.
Well, you know, in the ERA.
We
can't even get that ratified. It's 2022, and we can't even have equal rights for women. We can't have that ratified. You've got to be kidding.
Well, there is some fight to try to do that, because apparently the few holdout states kind of came around, and now they're trying to go back and move that forward, because it's sort of like a statute of limitations. I mean, that's been going on for so long. But that will be, if that is actually codified into the Constitution, that would be a game changer as well. So we'll see how that goes. That isn't a Supreme Court issue. That's kind of above and beyond them, although they may have something to say on the procedure of it.
But okay, so Rob, I have a question. So I know that you were talking about the woman's right for reproductive rights, and we're going to go back and see the abortion issue brought up again. Why? Okay, I think a woman should have a right to choose. I'm not a woman. I am never going to tell you what you can or can't do with your body, okay? We're in 2022. Why can't we find something else to get up in arms about? It just seems like we are now trying to talk like we're back in 1972. So we're going back 50 friggin' years in history, and we're making no forward progress. I mean, like, can't we find some other, you know, sword to jump on and, you know, let well enough alone? This is crazy.
Well, I think the majority of people, that's true. And that's one of the problems with what is going on in our country is that we are not ruled by the majority. We are ruled by a very well-placed minority. And to your point, that minority has not moved forward. In fact, they're moving backwards.
They
have never been on board, you know, and they want it the way that they had it. And there is some cultural influence on some of this stuff as well. Like with women's reproductive rights, one of the things that is difficult there is, and I agree with you, I mean, you and I don't have those body parts. We don't have a right to tell people who do have those body parts what or how they should use them. I mean, it's not our business. But culturally, if you watch TV shows and you watch, you know, the popular stuff, abortion is not well regarded. And very few people, in fact, the two sides are really not pro-abortion and anti-abortion. The two sides are pro-choice and what they like to call pro-life, although that is the biggest fallacy in the whole world.
Mm.
But, you know, the people who are pro-choice are for giving the woman the right to determine what is going on with her body. And then there's some deeply philosophical questions as to exactly when life begins that no one truly has an answer for, but each side makes up what they think or want to believe. But I guess the difficult thing on it is, like, in the issue of same-sex marriage, eventually, once it became legal, people who saw it, and they saw they didn't have to be afraid of it, and they actually saw the romance of it and everything else, that shifted, not everybody, but it shifted a lot of the people who were in the middle to being completely pro same-sex marriage. Abortion has this taint of we all love babies, and, you know, the anti side wants you to visualize this as quote unquote killing babies. And so they've got the color to paint it to make it seem like something really horrible. That you know, if we're for abortion, we're, you know, or if we're for pro-choice, we absolutely are out there trying to convince women to abort their pregnancy. And, you know, that obviously is not the case.
No, it's not. But I don't know, Rob. I am really disappointed in the direction our country is going. I'm not sure what to do. I don't think I really have an answer. But, you know, I read the news, and it just daily I am so disappointed in so many different facets of how the news gets to us. And the lack of factual reporting that seems to be most prevalent in the majority of news articles that are written. Now, I did not go to journalism school, but I can smell a really crappy story a mile away. And boy, it is tough to sit there and read because you know so many people are reading this stuff, you know, left or right. It doesn't even matter what side of the fence you're on, and say, okay, well, it must be true. I read it on the internet.
Well, here's my advice on it is, and this is how I read my news, is I read the conglomeration sites. In other words, I read the sites that have all of them on the same site. So I read Fox News, CNN. I read ABC, NBC. You know, it's like I get the input from all the different directions. And I will compare how Fox News reported something versus how CNN reported something. And you can see the bias pretty easily on how different things are presented. So I think seeing the pretty much the gut of the truth is not beyond the realm of possibility. The issue I think that is dangerous is more subtle. The voting suppression stuff that's going on
is unforgivable.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
And the thing, though, that I hope happens in the midterms, because the midterms are supposed to be very difficult for the Democrats, and if that is the case, then our government is going to be a complete shit show, you know, moving forward. Much more so than it is or how people think it is right now. But the thing that I hope happens, which we do have the power to have happen if people are on board, is the majority of people need to show up and they need to fight to vote, even in the states where it has become made more difficult. And they need to get the people out of office who are obviously agendized. I mean, we've had some real litmus tests about, you know, things that have gone on. What happened on January 6th with the attempted coup of Congress, that's unbelievable. That's historically unbelievable that that happened. And for any politician that is trying to downplay it, they need to go. They just need to go. And I would say that if it was reversed and it was a Democrat. It's like we need the politicians, whichever side they're on in Congress, to have integrity. And, you know, it's we have to fight for that. And the public has enough people to do that. And on women's reproductive rights, women and people who care about women need to stand up against that. I mean, we need to get angry and we need to go out and fight for it. And civil rights, you know, it's like we need to not only just say Black Lives Matter and, you know, watch our favorite black comedian or whatever. We need to address the systems that have been set up that are racist in their how they're set up. In other words, it doesn't matter that the people in those systems right now think of great of black people. The fact is that the system was set up to treat black people as a whole differently. Mm-hmm. And we have to change that. We have to fight to change that. But we need the right people in place to do that. And it's not just the president.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen the recent news story about the black family that had the white family come in when their house was getting appraised, and the house appraised for a gajillion times more than when it appraised with just the black family there. You know, it's stuff like that. Again, it's 2022, people. This is just fundamentally wrong.
Yeah,
but
that's been happening the whole time, though. It's like people, you know, it's like they're guilty of the crime of taking a walk while black, you know, going to a store while black.
Unacceptable.
You know, shopping while black. Yeah. And we have to look at the whole culture, because I know when, you know, back in the 70s and, you know, a lot of the cop shows that we watched and everything else, it was so easy. They would parade the gangs, and it's like, you know, this group of, you know, a bunch of black men were the bad guys, and, you know, it was a constant stereotypical presentation. Mm-hmm. And that isn't to say there weren't minority gangs out in the country. There were, but it wasn't the media portrayal of it made it so that the vision of a black man was fearful. I mean, it became the connotation, which is bled in to the psyche of so many of these people on the police force. So that, we look at things like the people who fight for gun rights and the right to carry a gun and the right to carry a concealed weapon. And I look at that and go, if you're a black person, that's like, you know, a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a black person with a concealed weapon, and you know, they get pulled over, they're completely innocent, they haven't done it, but they're suspected and they have a weapon. They're going to get shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like there are two different rule books, and you know, so a lot of this wasn't gone. It was just buried. And the thing that Donald Trump did that it's hard for me to call it positive, but it kind of was a necessity, was he pulled the scab. So he pulled out in the open a lot of the gunk that was still in this country and made it much more obvious that it was still there. And he did inspire people who were absolutely proud to stand up and say that it's still there and that they're part of it, which is abhorrent, but now they're out in the open. And so
well,
we have a more direct target.
out in the open is the fact that Donald Trump in this last reporting period has raised over $108 million for his political action committee. And I, by the way, I'm the least political person ever, but he has raised $108 million that is going into his war chest for whatever nonsense is going on in that brain of his. You know how much money he has actually donated, or his political action committee, which is raising this money to help support other Republicans? You know how much money, Rob, they have donated to Republican candidates in this same time period? Under $300,000. Now they've raised $108 million. So you know who's keeping all that money? The bankrupt ex-president himself. That's just sitting there waiting for him to figure out what he wants to do with it.
He may need it because he's got a lot of legal troubles. So, you know, he may be siphoning that off to pay all of his massive legal bills, some of which may eventually have to be to try to keep him out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Here's what I think is really frustrates me. So, and again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on TV. So I don't know all the particulars and the ins and outs, but what smells like a rat, walks like a rat, and talks like a rat tends to be a rat. And with this, with all of the documents that are coming out, with all of the people who are saying this is the way it's been, if this were back when Nixon were president, they would have had him, he'd have been so railroaded and he'd been in front of, you know, a jury, and they would have had him hung long before this drawn out process. And I think the entire nation at that time, as I read history and look back on documentaries, again, I'm not an expert, it just seems so compellingly bizarre that in today's world that all of this is going on, and the fan base, because that's what it is, it's because he was a TV star. The fan base behind this is going like, he's right. It's been, you know, he's getting shafted. And it's not like I'm not hearing any voice of reason going, you know, that was illegal and it is illegal. And so we need to treat this like we would treat anything else that's illegal. And if you say that and you're a Republican, you're automatically blackballed for anything. And I think that is absolutely unforgivable, that you can't even be in the party whose principles you stand behind and probably have thought about for decades to form your opinions and build your constituency to go and try to do something good for your district. And you can't even stand up for that, because if you say anything negative against the ex-president, then you are automatically not going to get any support, and all of those fundraising dollars are going to just continue to go into that war chest. That, I think, is wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you absolutely across the board, everything you said. I mean, it's like you look at Liz Cheney. Now, Liz Cheney,
who's brilliant.
There's nothing I agree with her on politically. I mean, before, you know, the January 6th and everything else, you know, it's like, you know, she voted pretty much everything she voted for, I was abhorred. But yeah, it's like, oh my God, that's horrible. But Liz Cheney has principles. You know, it's like she is standing up for the basic principles and the basic foundation this country is supposed to be built on. She is what a Republican should be. I mean, I'm still going to vote against her because I don't believe in the different issues that she does directly or at all. But it would be nice to deal with people you disagree with on the issues, but still have this foundation that you think is important for our country. It does go down to everything you're saying, though. I mean, it is that Trump was a TV star. He was appealing to the part of America that was like, screw the government, screw, you know, principles, screw all that. You know, it's like, we just want to win. You know, it was like the sports fan mentality. It's like, win at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like throwing principles out the window. We are in danger if that mentality takes over. because it is dialing things back. I mean, you were talking about, you know, how, you know, we're going backwards and everything else. I don't know that this is going to not be killed immediately, but the fact that it was even suggested is appalling. In Tennessee, one of their state congressmen or senators has proposed a bill that says that different people who get a license to carry a concealed weapon are, quote unquote, automatically deputized
as no
de facto law enforcement. Yeah, it's like
I don't like that.
Not only is it going back 30, 40 years, it's going back a century and a half to the Wild West, where, you know, it's insane. And I mean, it's even to the point that the first voices that are against this are police organizations. You know, so, but it is the fact that anybody could be so freaking crazy to even propose that is appalling.
Okay. Rob, we have 18 minutes left. We need to lighten the mood and give our listeners some hope for a brighter tomorrow. So with that, let's change topics.
Let's see. Which of my past shows do you want to talk about? Kids that are in foster care or male sexual abuse?
No, I want to talk about you. So I have a question, and this is because I read an article in the newspaper the other day, and I thought, well, when we do the show on Monday, I'm going to ask Rob this. Now, I don't need to know the details, Rob, because that is not the interesting part of this. But I want to know, where is the weirdest or strangest place you've ever had sex?
Oh, my God.
not asking what you did, and I'm happy to answer as well, but where's the weirdest place you've ever had sex?
Weirdest place I've ever had sex. I mean, I've been able to mess around in some kind of public venues, but that's not particularly weird, I don't think. I mean, I think people have done it on the beach and in the woods and all that. Weirdest place.
Well, okay, maybe not weird,
okay,
but where's
right.
the most unusual?
Okay.
So you
here
can
was,
interpret
was,
this however you want.
Here was the weirdest that took me by surprise, and this was a couple decades ago. I was having lunch with my mother in a very fancy upscale restaurant in Long Beach. And the waiter, I'm trying to remember, I don't even know if he was our waiter, but a waiter in the restaurant was very, very flirty with me. And at a certain point, I had to go to the restroom, so I excused myself from the table, went in to the restroom, and was at the urinal, and then, boom, who pops in right next to me at the urinal, right next door, and, things got a little heated in a very erotic way.
Okay.
And then I went back and sat down.
That's
a good answer. With my mother.
Hello, Mom. Where have you been? Oh, nowhere.
All right.
Okay.
So, okay, I'm gonna do a part two on that one, too, though, because I just thought of the other one.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm going to start to blush.
This one was actually, when I think back on it, pretty wild. I was on a trip to Boston with a coworker of mine who actually also happened to be gay. He was particularly arrogant. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. But as we were sitting on the plane, this really cute guy got on the plane, and the guy next to me looked at him and went, and this guy had a boyfriend. And he went, oh, my God. He was completely lusting after this guy and going, oh, that's so my type and da-da-da. I'm sitting there kind of going, oh, Dean, you know, I don't think he even noticed you, you know, whatever. So anyway, fly to Boston. We land. I go into the restroom. Obviously, restrooms have been pretty good for me. I go into the restroom, and who pops into the urinal right next to me but cute guy that got on the plane. And, yes, anyway, we ended up in a stall, and, you know, that was that. And then I walked out and met Dean at baggage claim, just having, you know, had carnal relations with the guy he was lusting after. So, anyway, those are my two weirdest sex stories.
Well, those are two good weird ones. So the reason I asked this question tonight, Rob, is because there was recently legislation. I don't mean for this to be a legislation show, but it just happens to be the topic that comes up. In Ohio, do you know about the story in Ohio, Rob?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. Okay. So when you think of going fishing, ice fishing, in particular, ice fishing. You know,
this one, okay, I knew.
When it's
going,
cold out and freezing out, what do you first think of when you think, I'm going to go ice fishing, just off the top of your head?
Prostitution.
Me too. I thought I was the only person that thought about prostitutes when I go ice fishing. By the way, I've never been ice fishing. But the story, it's 2022. Did these people only eat processed foods when they were growing up? I just need to know the answer to this. But there's a story out of Ohio where their local legislation was trying to pass a ban on having the fish, like the fish house or the shanty shacks out on the ice drifts of Ohio's lakes, because the legislator was quite sure that when the people weren't fishing, that in an ice hut used for ice fishing, people would hire prostitutes and it would just be rampant with whores instead of lures.
Well, so I have two comments on that.
Okay.
One is actually in support of this gentleman. And just in his defense, playing devil's advocate, is that if you are in a cold climate like Ohio, where it's snowy and all that, and there are people who are, you know, of the adult erotic trade selling their wares, and you want to partake of it, as I've just shared with, you know, there you get creative in the locations that you actually do it in. And so those ice shanties for somebody who is of that mindset could represent that. Now, here's the downside.
What's
for
the downside?
For most normal people who look at an ice shanty out on a piece of ice are not going to think of that. The only people who would imagine that you could use those for that purpose are people who have done it themselves.
Oh.
And I'll leave
you mean
that
like,
right there.
Okay. So that's almost like when we hear all of these people saying, I hate fags. Yes, I said the word. By the way, I've said every naughty word ever at least once. But you hear the people, I hate the fags. And it's usually because they're secretly gay themselves. And
exactly.
Then they find out that they've, you know, been trying to pass anti-gay legislation, and they're anti, and then they've been hiring the little male escorts to take them on trips and meet them in hotels and things like that. Isn't that funny how the pot calls the kettle black?
Yes. Oh, totally. Well, yeah, totally. So that is my observation of this situation, that the person whose mind immediately went there, there's probably a reason his mind immediately went there. That would be my guess.
Okay. Well, I am shocked that you knew about the story, but I'm thrilled to hear some exciting adventures of the past for you as well. So that's also kind of fun.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I never heard the Garrett Miller story here. I was promised.
So I need to tell you, I'm probably the least exciting storyteller of all time. So if you think that this is, I mean, you're going to go like, this doesn't even count. But I'm going to be really honest with you. I was a very late bloomer in all regards. And I would probably say the craziest thing that has ever happened is that I made out in a car in a parking garage and got caught by, the security people or whatever, and they tapped on the window and said, knock it off. So that happened in Phoenix, Arizona, and there was a waiter that worked at Houston's who I was very into. And I don't know how we ended up even connecting or anything like that, but we made out in, I think, his car until we had the security people come and go like, you need to knock that off. And that happened once.
Okay.
I know. It's not. Because I've been racking my brain trying to think before I ask you the question. I better have an answer for myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's just making out.
It's not even where. It's like that. You only were talking about making out, which is like.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Well,
right.
for me, that was a big. I was gonna get caught. Caught necking in a car. Well, there was not like really a lover's lane or any makeout point or anything like that in Phoenix. If there is, I never knew about it. So one late night, I made out in a car and I kind of got caught by security. Mm-hmm. I know. And fully clothed. There was nothing exposed or anything. It was just making out. So boring. And it's not even a PG-13. It's a light PG rating on it.
Yeah,
but there we go. Anyway,
well,
so that's my that's my story. Mm-hmm. Sam the waiter.
I focused on the restroom ones in this conversation, but a couple others have come to mind, which I'm going to keep to myself.
Okay, well, you can share those maybe at another point on a different show with a different topic. I don't know about that. So what else is new and exciting in your world, Rob? We've got 8 minutes left. Leave the listeners with something to get excited about.
Well, the other thing, one of the other articles that I wrote this month, which Parents.com, Parents Magazine online, has tapped me for a couple of articles, which I'm really thrilled about. They have a readership of like 2 million, so that's pretty cool. And when last we talked, I wrote one about the Buttigieg's and a troll that had made comments about their picture with their twins at the White House. This month, I wrote about a penguin couple in New York Zoo, this penguin couple is a kind of a rare breed of penguins. And so when an egg is laid, the zoo is very, very careful to make sure that egg actually gets hatched. So an egg was laid by a heterosexual penguin couple, but they were not deemed appropriate or capable of taking care of that egg to get it to hatch. And a couple that were two male penguins were deemed appropriate. So they essentially foster parented this egg, and it hatched at the very first part of January 2022, and the little penguin chick became the first first baby penguin of 2022. And it was just a testimonial to the principle of a loving couple, regardless of their gender, is capable across other species as well. Anyway,
how
I wrote an article about that, folding in the fact that I am the human version of that penguin couple, and talked about raising the boys and all of that. So that
I love
parents.
That story.
Com.
Parents.com. Read Rob Watson's article on that. Yeah. Well, Rob, I will tell you, last week, I do this thing on the side called singing a song every once in a while. And for my shameless plug, on the show page, you can go to my Spotify link for my artist. I go by Blonde Jesus because, Why not? And I've got a link on there to the musical and my Christmas album, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Well, as luck would have it, because, you know, I've got kajillions and kajillions of loyal fans all around the country and around the world who write in and listen to my playlist daily, I am up for a couple of industry awards here in L.A. And so I went up to my, because, you know, everything's like, you know, virtual now. Okay. So it's not like when I first won my first award and they held it at the Rose Bowl, that was very, very cool. But so now everything's virtual and you know, kind of send in a interview and that type of thing. They said, you know, you might be, which is code word for you are, but you might be getting a couple of awards and we'd like you to send in your acceptance speech and have it in by date X. So last Friday, I drove up to my video producer's studio in Fontana. Now, Fontana, for those of you who don't know where it's at, it's the middle of nowhere. But from where I'm at, assuming there's no traffic, it's probably about an hour and 15-minute drive. That's assuming you're going the speed limit. So I left my house to be there at his studio for my 3 p.m. meeting. I left. I thought, oh, I'm going to leave early. So I left at 1:30. Oh, my gosh, I'm just going to fly. I arrived at his studio at 4:45. Now, you can do the math, because even I'm smart on that. Yeah. And it was 3 hours and 15 minutes to go about 65 miles. But it was it was a Friday afternoon. And I told him when I got there, I said, I'm so sorry I'm late, but you realize this is the first time in like 3 years that I've not, you know, been just driving to work. I've actually gotten on a freeway and had to go somewhere. And apparently everybody else is now driving back to and from wherever they're supposed to go. So that harkened back to prior days. But anyway, so I filmed a couple of videos for my acceptance speeches, and he just sent them over to me earlier today, and they look really good because I'm in character.
Yay.
As long Jesus, can I get an amen? And, you know, so I've just kind of had to accept that I'm going to have to embrace that as a character. I can't have that actually be me. So I'm really excited to share that with you offline because I can't really release them until, you know, I quote unquote win the award. But that was kind of fun. I went up there and, you know, he filmed me with professional cameras and I looked kind of fancy and the whole thing. So that was kind of exciting. But anyway, that's
awesome.
It. Yeah. So everybody, real quick reminder.
Which songs are the awards for? Are they for the album or for the songs themselves?
Are you ready for this? So this is just like freaking me out. So for one of the awards, it's Artist of the Year, and the other one is Outstanding Legacy, because they've seen my body of songwriting that I've done over the past 5, 6, 7 years, and they are, you know, supposedly going to award me this award for the stories that I tell and, you know, my reasons for doing music the way I do it. And so I'm really honored to get this at such an early phase of my career. But this is, you know, I've released now my fifth album and I'm starting work on the next projects. So I'm super excited and very proud of that. So anyway. So
it's like, I hope you mentioned in that one acceptance speech is like, I'm actually too young to be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. Thank you anyway.
I wish it were like a lifetime, but it's says Outstanding Legacy, I think is what they call it. So it's just really about the course you're at in your career and why that's been important and how you're impacting the world. So I was very honored that they said we'd like to present this to you. So again, I'm assuming I'm getting it because they asked me to send in the acceptance speech, but you know, we'll actually see. And if so, then I'll play that and I'll share that on social media. But anyway, next week, Journey with Stephanie's Stephanie Gerard will join me as my guest co-host on Monday night. And then we'll figure out what we're going to do for her show because we're supposed to do it every first Tuesday of the month. But I got to work at my part-time job because I'm a glutton for punishment. So with that, folks, we'll figure it out. Rob's going to be back the third Monday of the month next month as well. And if all goes well, we're going to con him into doing this for the next quarter as well. But it's a privilege and honor to have you here. We're on iHeartRadio under Rated LGBT Radio and then also on Apple's Podcasts. Take us with you. Share the show with your friends. Tell everybody to tune in. And it is always a pleasure having you be part of our show. Rob, thank you again. I love you so much. You're a great friend, great writer, super talented. And we will see everybody here next Monday on Rated G Radio.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.
Hey, I just said that.